If you would please and open to Mark chapter 11. Gospel of Mark chapter 11. As you know, today is Palm Sunday. This is the day when we celebrate Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, the Sunday before he was crucified. And we are going to focus in on one question this morning, and that question is why? And we're going to see that in the answer, we find the gospel. Okay? So the title of the message this morning is The Gospel or the Good News of Palm Sunday, but we're going to get to that good news simply by asking and answering the question why. I would encourage you to take a Bible and follow along. We're going to open to a number of other places in Scripture. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit, and it would be good for you to see what the Lord has to say with your own two eyes, okay? Now, since we're going to go around to some other passages, I'm going to do something a little bit different here. Normally, I read the whole passage, and then we go back through, and we work at it piece by piece. Instead, the first time I read through, I'm going to give you some comments and some insights, and then we're just going to deal with the question why, okay? So, follow along if you would, please. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1 says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage," hard to pronounce, "and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." Stop there for a moment. It says, when they drew near, they is Jesus, his disciples, and a crowd of people that had been following them up from Jericho. And Jerusalem is uphill from Jericho, so they've walked uphill, and they're all coming into Jerusalem to celebrate the feast, right? The feast of the Passover. So this is an annual celebration of God's salvation of his people from bondage. And verse 1 says, when they drew near Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany. These are two villages that are just east, about a mile or two east of the city. And they came to the Mount of Olives, which if you know the geography, the Mount of Olives is really a ridge line that runs north to south on the east side of the city. So if you're in Jerusalem and you look east, there's a ridge. And on that ridge, a part of that ridge is called the Mount of Olives, named for the olive groves that are there. It says, when they drew near to Jerusalem, he sent two of his disciples, verse 2, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. Verse 3, and if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. Now, if you just stop here for a second, it's pretty interesting to notice that Jesus told his two disciples, we're not told which two, but he told them where to go, what to do, what they would find, what would happen, how they would be responded to, how they should respond, and how they would be responded again. Told them all of that. Pretty interesting. Certain facts there are facts that no one could know. So, what did they do? They went. Verse 4, they went their way. Trust and obey. That's what they did. They trusted and they obeyed. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. They loosed it. Verse 5, but some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so those people let the disciples go. Exactly as Jesus had said. And Jesus knew the place of the colt at the entrance of the village, the circumstance of the colt tied up outside, and the life history of the colt. No one has ever sat on it. If I brought a colt outside the church and said, okay, tell me whether anyone has ever sat on this colt, well, you've got a 50-50 chance. But there's no way for you to know with 100% certainty, and especially if we lived in a culture where most every colt has been sat on at one time or another by someone, now it's not 50-50 anymore, right? You're just guessing, but if you probably guess, well, it's probably been sat on because in our culture, they get sat upon. Jesus said, nope, you're going to find a colt, and no one has ever sat upon it. So, he's teaching them that he has full knowledge of things, and they go, right? The disciples are learning to trust that what Jesus says is true because he is full of grace and truth. John 1:14, he is the truth. John 14:6, in him is the truth. Ephesians 4:21. So verse 7, then they brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their clothes on it, kind of like a saddle. He sat upon it, and many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees. What kind of trees? Palm trees, from John's Gospel 12:13. And they spread them on the road like a carpet for a conquering king. This is rolling out the green carpet. Verse 9, then those who went before and those who followed behind, there was this massive crowd of people. Some had come up with Jesus and the disciples from Jericho. Some had come out from Jerusalem. Some had heard that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. There were like these three sources of crowds. They all gathered together. And they're going in front of and behind Jesus as he comes into the city. And they're crying out, Hosanna, which means, very good, save us now. And it's a direct quote from Psalm 118:26. Save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. By the way, Psalm 118, in that same context, is, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that psalmist is prophesying this particular day, Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Verse 10, blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. What are they thinking? They're thinking, this is it. This is the king. He's coming now. The kingdom will happen now. He's going to deliver us from our enemies. Rome is going to be overthrown. He's going to establish the kingdom. They're thinking this is the fulfillment of the promises of God. And it is, but not those ones. Verse 11, and Jesus went into Jerusalem, and they're thinking, this is it. What's he going to do? He goes into the temple, and when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went back out to Bethany with the 12. There you go. That's Palm Sunday. That's it. That's it. We get in there and say, wow. Well, the Spirit of God has painted a picture for us here in a few words. And my favorite question to ask when I study the Bible, honestly, is why? And I have found that very often, the answer to the question why leads to the gospel. So that's what we're going to ask this morning. Why? Verse 1 says, they drew near to Jerusalem. Why? Verse 2, he says the two disciples go into the village. Why? Bring me a colt. Why? They brought the colt and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Why? The crowds cried out, Hosanna. Why? And if you will notice, the answer is not here. There is not a following verse where Mark says, oh, and all of this was done because, let me tell you why. It's not here. Which would leave us with a couple of options, right? We could say, well, there is no answer to why. Jesus is kind of a mystic. He likes to be kind of wild and out there. Likes to do interesting things. So he thought, you know what, this time I think I'll just ride in on a colt. Next time it could be something else. He's totally unpredictable. And some people actually conclude that Jesus is super mystical. And they'll draw principles like, you know, if you're going to ride into a town, you should ride on a colt. And if you're going to, you need to make an entrance. So when you come into church, you need to make an entrance. That's not what this is about. This is not about simply making some kind of an entrance. Another option would be to speculate and just guess. Neither of those are good options. There's a third option, and this one is actually commanded of us at various places in the Bible. When you have a question that you ask of God's Word and you don't see the answer, there's something God wants you to do, and that is seek. Seek. Seek and ye shall find. Seek the Lord while he is near. If you will seek and search, Proverbs 2 says, then you will find. So we are going to go seeking for an answer to the question, why? And whereas the first readers of Mark's gospel maybe didn't have a lot to go on, we have the faith once for all delivered to the saints, so we can look around. So take your Bibles if you haven't yet. Grab one from the chair in front of you or share with a neighbor. And let's go looking for an answer to the question, why did Jesus do this? And let's see if we can find the gospel. So, let's turn first to the first gospel, and that's Matthew's. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Mine has a heading over that chapter that says The Triumphal Entry, which is another title for Palm Sunday. And Matthew 21, verse 1 says, Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples. Does that sound familiar? Good, because that's the exact same account. But it is from another person, and this one, an eyewitness. Matthew, or Levi, the tax collector, was there. He was with Jesus. He saw this, and he's recording it. Verse 2, sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. A little more detail. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Now look at verse 4. All this was done, why? Very good. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here we find the first of at least four answers to the question why. And the answer is, there was a prophecy to be fulfilled. There was a prophecy to be fulfilled. And the good news is, Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. That's why he came. He came to fulfill the word of God. He came to fulfill the promises of God. Matthew 5:17 says, and this is Jesus speaking to the crowd, Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's good news. Because God has made many great and wonderful promises in the Old Testament, including the promise of an eternal kingdom in which the people of God will live forever. And Jesus came to fulfill those promises. So why Palm Sunday? There was a prophecy to be fulfilled, and the good news is Jesus came to fulfill the Word of God. So a side question, how much of the Word of God will Jesus fulfill? All of it. Matthew 5:18 says, Assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by any means pass from the law until all has been fulfilled. So everything that God has said in Scripture will come to pass. All the judgments that God has promised upon the unbelieving will come to pass. And all the promises of eternal blessing to believers will be fulfilled without any doubt. How do you know? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord who came to fulfill the Word of God. Praise the Lord. That's the why of Palm Sunday. There was a prophecy to be fulfilled. But what was it about? Notice Matthew 21 again, verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now that's a partial quote from... where is it from? Zechariah 9:9. But we're not going to turn there yet. I thought we were going to turn there. We're not going to turn right away. There was a point to be made. What is it? What's the point that Jesus is making? Look again, verse 5. Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you. There was a point to be made, and the point to be made is that Jesus is the king. He is the Messiah, which means the anointed one, the anointed king that was promised in the Old Testament. This is why Palm Sunday. There was a point to be made. That's number two. And the good news is that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the king. He's the one who will reign in eternity. Listen, you know, we always talk every couple of years about elections and who's going to be in charge. We are never going to have a human leader that is remotely close to Jesus Christ. We will never have a human leader who is righteous, who is humble, who is godly, who is concerned about the things of God. We're not going to have that. So don't put your hope and your trust and your faith and your confidence and your joy in some mere human leader. Jesus is the King. He is the one who will rule. Set your mind on things above. Set your minds on Jesus Christ and the kingdom that is to come. Who is the anointed prophet that Moses promised in Deuteronomy 18? Jesus Christ. And that's part of the point of Palm Sunday. Who's the anointed priest that David promised in Psalm 110 would be the priest for us forever? Jesus Christ. And that's part of the point of Palm Sunday. Who is the anointed king, the Son of God, promised in Psalm 2 and Daniel 7? Jesus Christ. And he's making that point by entering into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And by the way, because this came up recently on our Tuesday nights, this truth that Jesus is declaring on Palm Sunday by riding in on a colt, the foal of a donkey, the truth that he is the king, is the foundational truth upon which the church is built. Matthew 16, Jesus was asking his disciples, Matthew 16, 15, who do you say that I am? First he asked them, who do people say that I am? And he gave them all these answers, right? Then he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, which means a stone, and on this rock, not Peter, not the Pope, not any mere man, but on this rock, on this solid rock truth, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Listen, God is not a fool. Only a fool would build some structure upon a man. And the Bible says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. God has not put his trust and his hope in Peter. He's not building the church on Peter or any pope. The truth that Jesus was declaring on Palm Sunday, namely that he is the Messiah, this is the truth of the Christian faith. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ, not Peter. Okay, so don't ever believe anyone who tells you that Peter is the foundation upon which all the church is being built. So why Palm Sunday? There was a prophecy to be fulfilled, and Jesus fulfilled it. And the good news is Jesus Christ came to fulfill God's word. Second of all, there was a point to be made, and Jesus made it. The point is, Jesus is the King. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. There's a third answer here. And now, we turn to Zechariah 9:9, because not all of it is quoted here. So turn back to Zechariah 9:9. Just about at the end of the Old Testament, so just not far before Matthew. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And it says, rejoice greatly. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, offspring of Zion. Shout, which is a shout of joy. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, look at this. Your king is coming to you. And then the next words were not in that quote in Matthew. He is just or righteous and has salvation. He has salvation. Here's the third answer to the question, why Palm Sunday? And it's the good news. There is a people to be saved. There is a people to be saved. And the good news is Jesus Christ came to save. Who are the people to be saved? It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. So certainly this is for the offspring of Zion. This is for the Jews. But keep reading. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. There's a people to be saved, not just from Jerusalem, but from every people, tribe, tongue, and nation. Which people? Well, when you get to Matthew 1, when Joseph and Mary were given a revelation that Mary was going to have a baby, they said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. He will save his people from their sins. Which tells you what? Jesus has a people. and that people will be saved. This is the good news of Palm Sunday. There is a people to be saved, the people of Jesus Christ. Later in John 17, it is the people that God the Father has given to his Son, a redeemed people, for Jesus the Son and God the Father to rejoice with in eternity. Are you one of those people? If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are. And if you have not, then you're not yet, but maybe you are. Because God has you here today, and he wants you to be one of his people. And he calls you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. There is a people to be saved, and Jesus will save them. He will save everyone who believes in him. Another way to say it is that God the Father will save everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Is that you? This is the good news. There was a prophecy to be fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled it. Good news, Jesus came to fulfill the word of God. There was a point to be made. What was it? Jesus is the Christ. He's the King. That's the good news. And there was a people to be saved from their sins. Good news, Jesus Christ came to save. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now you might say, hey, wait a second. You think the disciples understood all that stuff? Actually, I know they didn't. They didn't. So let's turn to John 12. Turn back to the Gospels and turn to John 12, and we'll get to another why of Palm Sunday. Turn to John 12. And let's start in at verse 12. If your Bible's like mine, it says the triumphal entry. Sounds familiar. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees. John's the only one that marks that, and thus it's called Palm Sunday. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Now look at verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. You wonder, well, why not? I don't know. I always feel bad when people didn't understand things back then because I think I probably wouldn't have either. You're watching all this take place and you're going, what is happening? Why is this happening? So they don't understand it until, notice what it says, verse 16, "But when Jesus was glorified, after he had been crucified and risen from the dead, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him." Now, there's an interesting statement. They had done these things to him. Who's they? These crowds of people. And they remembered that these crowds of people had done these things to him. What things? Well, initially, what they did was they cried out, "Hosanna!" And then they cried out, "Crucify!" And they had done these things to him. "Oh, we're with you. Oh, we love you. We want you." And then they cried out, "Kill him." Then they remembered that they had done these things to him. So why? Why? Why go into Jerusalem at all if you know for a fact that what's going to happen when you get there is they're going to kill you? Did Jesus know that they were going to kill him? Absolutely, yes. All the Gospels record that multiple times before they ever got to Jerusalem, Jesus kept on telling his disciples, "Now we're going to go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles, and they are going to put him to death. But on the third day, he's going to rise." And it keeps saying, and they didn't get it, and they didn't get it, and they didn't get it. But why would he go in there if he knows all this is going to happen? Fourth answer to the why question, there was a price to be paid. There was a price to be paid. Good news, Jesus paid it all. There was a price to be paid for all the sins that you and I have committed against the God of heaven. And not one person here is innocent. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, I think it's 7:20, you know, when Solomon is at the end of his life and he's kind of reviewing the things that he's seen, a lot of times he says, well, I've seen this, I've seen this. And he says, I've seen, there is not a single righteous man on the earth who does good but doesn't sin. That's what I've seen. There just isn't a righteous man on the earth. And so there's a price to be paid for the sins of the world if anyone is to be saved. And the good news is, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This is the good news. You know, we get there by... You read in Mark, and I read Mark's to begin with on purpose because I knew that he didn't have any of the answers to the why question. And you just say, I wonder why. And then you go looking and you turn to Matthew and you find, oh, I see there was a promise to be fulfilled, a prophecy to be fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the word of God. How much of it? All of it. That's good news. And then you go and you look further and you say, well, what was that promise? Oh, Jesus Christ is coming as the king. That's why. There was this point to be made that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Oh, that's good news. Jesus is the Messiah. There is a Savior, and he's the one. Then you go back and you look in Zechariah 9 and you realize, oh, he's coming to bring salvation, right? There's a people to be saved. God's a Savior, and he wants people to be saved. So he sends his son into Jerusalem to die. This is more good news. And then we find that nobody understood really what was going on. And the next thing you know, Jesus is hung on a cross and is bleeding out, being executed as a criminal. And you wonder why. Well, because there's a price to be paid for the sins of the world, and Jesus paid the price. But now we got to come full circle. Everybody likes closure. Let's go back to Mark 11. Because there is, I told you there's at least four answers. Now I'll say there's at least five answers. Let's go back to Mark 11. And what's really the focus here? Because this doesn't tell us that there was a prophecy to be fulfilled. This doesn't quote Zechariah 9. This doesn't say the disciples didn't understand these things that were done to him. We just really have the account with none of those other things. So now we can say, why? And although the answer isn't here, I'll give you an answer that I think fits what we have. And the answer is, there were disciples to be trained, just as there are here this morning. There were followers of Jesus Christ that still needed to be trained in certain things. And that's why Palm Sunday. What did they need to be trained in? Verse 1. They drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples and he said, go into the village opposite you. So just there's go and do what I tell you. Just go and do what I tell you. I'll tell you how it's going to be. I'll tell you what you're going to find when you get there. I'll tell you then what's going to happen then. I'll tell you what you need to do. I'll tell you what you need to say. But you just need to go and you just need to trust me and do what I am telling you. And you know what? They did. And it turned out exactly as Jesus said. You know what? That's what we need to learn. This is why Palm Sunday. There are still disciples who need to be trained to trust Jesus Christ and to obey what he says. But he says do this and I don't want to do that. No, you need to do that. You need to trust him and you need to be obedient. That's why Palm Sunday. There are still these disciples to be trained. And you know what? What's the good news? Jesus is the trainer. You know, sometimes I just worry because the Great Commission is to make disciples, right? And I think, oh my goodness, we've got to make disciples and we got to do more and I need to do more. But you know, ultimately, yeah, and that's true. I need to do more. We all need to do more for making disciples. Ultimately, Jesus is the discipler. Ultimately. Which is why he said right after he gave the commission, and behold, look at this, I'm with you all the days, even to the end of the age. That's how Matthew's gospel ends. So why Palm Sunday, and what's the good news? By way of review, there was a prophecy to be fulfilled. Good news, Jesus fulfilled it, and he is going to fulfill every prophecy of God, every promise, both of judgment and of salvation. There was a point to be made. Good news, Jesus made it. The point is, Jesus Christ is the King. He's the Christ. He's the prophet, priest, and king promised throughout the Old Testament. There was and is a people to be saved from their sins. Good news, Jesus came to save. There was a price to be paid for our salvation. Jesus paid it all. And there were and are disciples who need to be trained to trust and obey Jesus Christ. Good news, Jesus is still training us. He's still working on us. He's still discipling us. So if you feel like you're a work in progress, if you feel like there's still so much that you need to understand, if you feel like you still need to grow, praise the Lord. If you feel otherwise, like, look, there's nothing more for me to learn. I already know it all. I'm already doing everything and anything that God could ever want from me. That's not good. You still need to be trained. And that's why we're here. That's it. That's why Palm Sunday. I hope that you'll learn to ask why when you study the Bible. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for this celebration of Christ's entrance into the city of Jerusalem despite the certainty of death. We thank you for the example that he is to us, being willing to lay down his life for us, and the application that goes with that, that we should be willing to lay down our lives for one another. Help us, Father, to trust you and to be obedient, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.